Well, I want to say once again, special Mother's Day to all the moms in the house, the mother-in-laws, the grandmoms, the great-grandmamas out there, and the mothers-to-be. We celebrate you, the mothers-to-be, on your first Mother's Day here. And one more time, can we just honor all of the mothers in the house one more time? Did you know the history of Mother's Day? I didn't. I had to Google this. But in 1908, Anna Jarvis, she spearheaded an effort to just bring a special Mother's Day to her church, this Episcopal church in West Virginia. And little to her knowledge, 6 years later, Mother's Day would spread like wildfire and become a national celebrated holiday here in America. Later, it would then spread all throughout the world, and mothers are now recognized all throughout the world on different dates. Anna was never married, she was never a mother herself, but she was so impacted by her own mother that she wanted to do something special to honor her, and as a result, Mother's Day is now celebrated 115 years later all throughout the world. Mother's Day is the third largest card-giving day in the U.S. How many of y'all got a card today, mamas? How many of y'all got a card? How many of y'all got a handmade card? What's up? Yeah. Not only are we cheap, but we get the kids involved, right? Like, that's how it goes. 139 million cards will be given out today to moms. It's also the second largest gift-giving day, next to, obviously, Christmas. And so, moms, did you guys get a good gift today? Nope. Yes? Okay, one mom. All right, two moms. I see you. All right. Well, moving on. Well, I want to honor my mom, who watches every single week. She lives in Dallas, and my mom was the fun mom. How many of y'all had the fun mom? Come on, how many of y'all had the fun mom? Like, not that many people in the room, right? Well, that's my mom. She was the fun mom. She was the party mom. She was tough at times, but man, she was a lot of fun, and I actually loved growing up that way. Let's just say that she was the one that I went to when I wanted to get something, right? Like, if I wanted to go shopping, my mom would never say no to me. If I wanted to watch the rated R movie, sorry, Dad, mom would let me watch the rated R movie. She was the fun mom. She wanted me to have fun, and I would always go to her because Dad, he was a little bit more strict and kind of kept the house in order. Let's just say I got my brains from my dad. I got my personality from my mother. Anybody else out there? My personality. I love my mom. I want to honor her. Also, my mother-in-law, who is watching at home today, she's a big part of our church. So many affectionately know her as Marmy and as a mom to so many here. I want to honor her. And my wife, Allie, the mother of our three kids, she's a great mom. She was born to be a mom. When I first started dating her, I said, well, what do you want to do? You know, how are you going to make me a lot of money? You know, like, what's this going to look like? You know, you want to be a doctor? No, she wants to be a wife and a mom, a stay-at-home wife and mom, and she is honestly meant for that. She loves it, and she's so good at it. You know, today I want to give honor where honor is due. We want to honor and celebrate you moms. I also know at the same time a holiday like today can bring about some heartache, some headache, and maybe you have some bad memories with your mother. Maybe you had a good relationship, but maybe your mother is now passed, and this kind of a day like this just brings up a few bad memories and just maybe hurts a little bit. Today I want to encourage you, and hopefully you leave today feeling encouraged and feeling the Lord has spoken to you today. But I'm going to bring a standalone message to you on how to honor our mamas, how to honor our mamas. All of us had a mama, so we all can receive something from this message. So if you're taking message notes, the title of this morning's message is this, and this is how I titled it, Honoring Mama, Honoring Mama. Let's pray. Father, we thank you once again for all the mothers in the house today. Lord, may they be loved and honored today, and may you help us, show us how to honor them for what they do. We love you. They're a gift from God in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Honoring mama. Now, that's what I said. I called my mom mama. Anybody else? Mama, right? Some of y'all say mom. Some of you say mommy. All the Canadians in the room say mum, which I don't know what that's about. I mean, not in Texas. We don't do that. Mum. That's what we give Isaac a hard time. We call him Mumsy because he just goes, mum, you know. Now, my dad always called his mom mother. mother, and I felt like that's pretty formal, but that's what my dad always called his mom. You know, moms have so many names because they have a special place in our heart. And what I've noticed is moms have a place in our hearts that dads could never fill, right? I mean, for example, I've never seen someone get a heart tattoo with the name dad, right? Ain't gonna happen, right? It's always mom. You know, when you're watching a football game, at the end of the game, the players interview, they say what? Hi, mom. They never say, hi, daddy. You know, it just doesn't have the same ring, you know. You know, in my household, when my kids need something, they yell mommy, not daddy. When my kids need something in the middle of the night, whose bedside do they go to? Not mine. They go to mom's. They got to walk around me to get to mom. And they still do it, right? I think they just know that I'm just going to go get your mother. I mean, you're on your own, kid. I don't know. There's just something special about mama. You know, something I learned is you got to be careful what you tell your mom. My mom is not good at keeping secrets at all. Anybody else have a mother like that? You got to be super careful. Here's one of my favorite stories about my mom. When I went to go propose to Allie, I kind of told my mom that I was ready to take the next step, and she gave me some advice. She was happy for me, and I told her what I was going to do. Big mistake. I told her what I was going to do and how I was going to do it, and I said, Mom, I want to invite you and Dad to an engagement party, a surprise engagement party that we're going to have right after I propose. We'll meet at this restaurant, and it'll be a great time. So my plan goes perfectly. I mean, I had it all written out to the time and, you know, how I was going to do it, and when I proposed, it went great. She didn't see it coming. It was incredible, and little to her knowledge, we're leaving, heading to the surprise party. But to pull this off, we had to call mom, right? So we call Renita, and of course, Renita is at the party waiting, but she's a champ. You know, she plays it off. Oh my gosh, I had no idea. Congratulations, right? And then we called my mom. My mom literally responds on speakerphone this way. Wow, that's great. Jared, you already told me this. And by the way, are y'all heading to the party? And now the joke in our family, honestly, my mom does this. She'll call me and say, am I on speaker? I can't tell mom the secrets because they're going to get out for sure. Well, here's what the book of Ephesians says about moms and dads. Ephesians 6, verses 2 through 3 says this, honor your father and mother. That's the goal of this message today. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. The reason, I think, reading this scripture, the reason that you will live a longer life when you choose to honor your parents is because they choose not to kill you, right? They just, like, that's what they need. They need the honor, and your life will live a lot longer. Now, you need to honor mom and dad. This actually is a reference to the Ten Commandments found in the Old Testament. You know, one of the top 10 commandments, God gives us 10 commandments, one of the top 10 things God asks us to do is to honor mom and dad, to honor mama. When we honor our parents today, when we honor mama today, we are not trying to be cute and sweet and fulfill this Hallmark holiday. We're fulfilling scripture. We're fulfilling one of the Ten Commandments. We're fulfilling this Ephesians passage. Now, how you treat your parents really matters to God. I don't know your situation. Maybe you didn't have a good relationship with mom, or maybe you're kind of sideways with mom right now, but hear me, how you treat mom really matters to God. And some of you say, well, you don't know mom. You don't know my mother, right? You wouldn't like her either, right? I get that. And no, I don't know your mom, but I know God. And I know what God said, and he says this is not a recommendation, this is a commandment. Because when you honor your parents, it will go well with you. That's what the Bible just says. So when you dishonor your parents, it will not go well for you. And some of y'all, it's not going well because you refuse to honor your parents. You will live a long life, and it will go well with you when you honor mom and dad, indicating that your life will be shortened when you dishonor your parents. Here's my takeaway from that. There's a direct correlation between how your life will be lived simply by how you treat your parents. We need to honor our parents today. In today's message, we need to honor mama so that we will live a long life and it will go well with us. So here's the fun message today. I just want to give you 7 ways that you can honor mama today. Seven ways you can honor mama. Here's the first thing right here. Love her unconditionally. Love mom unconditionally. Did you know, as I was researching for this message, I'm like, okay, that sounds pretty biblical. Let me look up a passage. Couldn't find one. Looked it up. There's actually no biblical commandment for you to love your parents, which I found was really weird. Didn't go well with my teaching here. But I found this, that the Bible actually commands us to love our enemies, and the Bible assumes that you already love your parents. The Bible doesn't make you or instruct you to love your parents. They're assuming you already do because they brought you into this world. But it does instruct us to love our enemies. It does, however, tells us, with the assumption that you already love your parents, to honor them, to obey them, and for the love of God, to fear them. I love how the Bible just slides that one in there. So the Bible wants to help in those other areas, but it assumes we already love our parents. There should be no conditions for when it comes to loving your mother. Love her when she is young and love her when she is old. Love her when she is nice and love her when she's the meanest, rudest, grouchiest old woman on the planet, right? Love her when it's easy to love her and love her when it's hard to love her. Love should have no conditions when it comes to mama. You know, we have three kids and I now see what my mom had to go through and put up with when raising three boys, right? And here's what I've learned about moms is that you can't be selfish. Even if you wanted to be, you can't be selfish because you put everyone's needs before your own. You can't act on your own desires. When you're tired and you want to rest, you have laundry to do. When you want a night out and a night off, you have sports to go to. When you want to be selfish, you can't. You won't. Even today, I mean, you know how much I hate LTY sports. I vent to you on Sunday mornings. It's soccer tournament weekend, and my wife can't even be here to hear Mother's Day because she's with Sayla at a tournament right now. Hate that, all right? Hate it. I wish I knew somebody on the board. All right. But you can't. You can't be selfish. You wish you could be in church, but you can't because you want to be there for your daughter in her only tournament of the year. That's unconditional love. So we are to love them when they have nothing to give. We're also, it's easy to love them when they're giving, they're generous. Man, but we also got to love them when they have nothing left to give. Maybe they're older now. Maybe they're older and they need more from you than they can give. Maybe they're not as kind anymore or as generous anymore. I'm in that transition. My parents would pay for everything and now they're retired. Now guess who's trying to step in to pay for things, right? Maybe they don't give what they were used to be able to give. Or maybe they're not with us anymore. Maybe they're sick. It's just a hard time. Or maybe they refuse to talk to you. The relationship is estranged. We are to love them unconditionally. And when we do, we show them honor. Here's the second thing I want to show you today on how you can honor mama. Here it is right here. Hug affectionately. Oh, hug affectionately. Have you hugged your mother lately? That's what I want to ask you. And if your mama's sitting next to you right now, I want to get weird for a second. I want to get uncomfortable for a moment. Give your mama a big old hug if she's by you. Husbands, you can play the role of your kids right now. Give that mama next to you a big old hug, maybe a kiss. Let's show some affection. Let's get a little weird and uncomfortable. Now, if my mom was in here right now, she would say, "Don't you dare touch me," all right? My mom is not the affectionate type whatsoever, and she would tell me, "Do not touch me." There you go. We got that out of the way. You hugged mama. You gave her a kiss. You know, one thing that I see now that I'm a parent is how easy it is to assume that your parents know that you love them. It's easy to assume that. But when my kids show me affection and they say, "Daddy, I love you," there's nothing better in the world. Don't assume that your mom knows you love her. Tell your mom you love her. Show her you love her. Show her some affection. You know, growing up, this was my childhood. Growing up, after church on Sunday, my brothers and I would go with my dad to visit his mother, who lived about an hour away. Every Sunday, after church, we'd get in the car and we'd drive to Sherman, Texas, and I hated Sundays for that reason. Drugged to church and then drugged across the state, and I didn't enjoy that because as a kid, I wanted just to be home and play video games and play football, and instead, I was with my family. But even growing up that way, I don't have much that I remember, but one memory, I think there's one that really marked me and stuck out to me. My dad, we'd go see his mother, and I just remember sitting in a nursing home like Sunday after Sunday, and my dad just sitting next to his mom, grabbing her hand, holding her hand and rubbing her hand, and just saying repeatedly, "I love you, mother. I love you, mother." I remember that. I remember my dad showing his mom affection, honoring her. When we show our moms affection, we honor them. Here's the third thing, if you're taking message notes, we understand her sympathetically. Understand her sympathetically. Proverbs 18:2, fools find no pleasure in understanding, but delight in airing their own opinions. We all know someone like that. Proverbs 14:29, whoever is patient has great understanding, but one who is quick-tempered displays folly. One thing that I've seen in watching my wife, mother, our kids, is that she wears many hats. Moms, you wear so many hats. If you went to our women's conference, some of y'all wore some weird hats, all right? But y'all wear a lot of hats, man. My wife, she's the nurse, she's the chef, she's the housekeeper, she's the chauffeur, she's the room mom, she's the cheerleader, she's the party planner, she's the stylist, and she's the voice of reason in our household for sure, right? She's the voice of comfort. Moms do so much for us, and moms wear many hats, and we need to appreciate them for all the hats that they wear. And because of what they do, we need to have a heart posture towards them that is understanding and sympathetic. I feel like the older we get, we begin to give our parents a little less grace. We need to understand and be sympathetic. When they say something that we may not understand because we're young, or maybe they respond in a way that's off-putting to us, or I feel like parents can lose their tact over the years, you know? Like, maybe they're just a little more blunt with you or say things with a little less grace. Regardless of the circumstance, we're here to respond in a sympathetic way. When we respond sympathetically and we understand their perspective, we show them honor. Here's the next one. Here's the fourth one if you're taking notes. We're going to listen to her attentively. Listen to her attentively. You know, only if we could give what we hope to receive from our moms. I know when my kids are speaking with my wife, they want her undivided attention. Have y'all seen that about your kids? Your kids expect your undivided attention. But they could care less what mom is doing, right? My wife would be on a serious phone call. Mom, 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 right? And you guys got kids like that? Yeah? She could be taking a shower, knocking on the shower door. Mom, what are you doing? Mom, I need to talk to you, right? She could be sleeping, which is the worst time. They bust out the door and, Mom, 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 you know. This is what kids want. They want your undivided attention, and that's what moms show. They give you their undivided attention. You know, when our kids need something, they go to the listening ear of the family. They go to mom. There's a story in the Bible in 2 Kings 4 where there was trouble with one of the kids who was working in the field with his father. He was actually, the Bible records, he was having a heat stroke. And get this, the dad tells the servants, take him to his mother. Like this kid's having a heat stroke. Dad is there, present, right there, and says, go take him to his mother. You see, when something serious is taking place, dads don't want the responsibility. We're like, you need to go see your mother. Let's get you to mama. You know, mama will take care of this one. And I got to be honest, I would probably say the most repeated phrase in my household from me specifically is this: go talk to your mom. Anybody else, dads? Go talk to your mom. Now, you might say that's a cop-out. First of all, I'm offended, okay? But listen, I'm telling you, and dads will totally get my back on this, we genuinely don't know what to do. We don't want the pressure. We don't want the responsibility. If we do, if we try to make the call, it'll be the wrong call, I promise you. And so we'd rather just say, go speak with your mother. I know for me growing up, when I had a problem, I didn't go to dad, I went to mom. Because mom was able to listen and she was able to bring comfort. Dads, we just want to fix it. You know, we're not into this whole listening thing. We're going to stop you mid-sentence and we're going to figure out a plan to a solution to fix this problem. Moms, they have a gift to listen. God did not give us that gift, okay? We want to fix it. Moms are the best listeners. We go to them when we want to be heard. So maybe we ourselves can honor them by listening to them for once. Here's why: because moms know best. Amen, moms? And moms know what they're talking about. I heard a quote recently, and I think this is the problem. When you're old enough to know the answers, nobody asks you any more questions. There's something about time that enables us to gain wisdom and understanding. Could it be that your mom really knows what she's talking about, especially for you younger folks? She may not be trendy, but she is true. She may not be trendy, but she is true. She raised you. And look how you turned out. Some of us, that's not a good thing, but look how you turned out, right? She knows what she's talking about. I remember, this is one of my memories of being new parents, right? You moms-to-be, we're so excited for you. I remember when Al and I had our first baby, Eden. And, you know, when you get that daughter, you know, for the first time, first of all, you don't know what you're doing, right? We all can admit that. But then after a couple weeks, you're like, this is my responsibility, and I can't mess this thing up, right? And you begin to think you're the only person in the world that can care for this child, right? And so I remember a few weeks, maybe months in, nobody has ever watched our baby Eden, and Al and I wanted to go out on a date, so we went over to the in-laws and said, you know, I don't know if you can do this, but would you mind watching Eden for the hour, right? Like, we'll just keep it 1 hour, give us a break, right? Like, surely Renita has no idea what to do. Like, surely. Like, we were terrified, thinking she had no idea how to watch a baby for an hour, right? We were petrified. Could it be that our moms have lived a little longer than we have experienced a little bit more life, have some wisdom to offer? Would it pain us to seek their counsel and listen attentively? And let me give you a little hint here. Seek their counsel, listen attentively, and I don't care if you take the advice or not. But you honoring them and asking for their advice and asking for them their counsel, that is a way to honor them. You don't have to take the advice, but at least you can honor them by asking, okay? So we're gonna listen attentively, and when we do, we show them honor. Here's the fifth one. We're cranking through a list of seven. We're going to help cheerfully. We're going to help cheerfully. You know, moms are the best helpers. They do things that money could not pay them to do. They pick up things off the bathroom floor that no one else will ever come near, right? Can y'all agree with that? I grew up with two brothers, household of three boys. We rarely showered. I mean, you know, like we never cleaned up, you know, and we definitely never made it in the toilet when going to the bathroom, right? It was kind of a goal to just get everywhere else, I think. We all shared a bathroom, and my poor mother would have to clean up after us three boys, and she'd have to wear a hazmat suit with a full mask before COVID, you know, to get in that bathroom and clean up, right? Moms, they do things that we would not do. I mean, they wipe boogers off of faces. They clean blood off of knees. And moms just do the grossest, most disgusting tasks, right? Allie has, okay, y'all got to go with me on this. Allie has like a booger sucker. Y'all seen these parents, new parents, okay? They have a contraption now. Yeah, they used to just do a little boop, 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 boop. No, not anymore. You stick a tube up your child's nose, and you suck as hard as you possibly can, and you suck boogers out of your kid's noses. And it tastes delightful. So here we have mom wiping blood with her bare hands off of their kid, sucking boogers out of their nose, and now mom wants something from us. And we say, nope, too busy, you're much of a bother. Your mom sucked boogers out of your nose, all right? Like, we can do something for our moms. You know, people can tell if you're being cheerful or fake, too. This is the key word right here. Now, y'all are stuck on the booger suckers, aren't you, right? Yeah, some of y'all are going to go buy one. Yeah, I'm going to try it out. Now you just want to know. People can tell. We're going to help cheerfully. People are going to They know if it's cheerful or if it's fake. Just the other day, this is, all of you parents will hear me on this one, but just the other day, we were out doing sports, and we went out to dinner after, and of course, it's been raining, you know, nonstop around here, which we're all thankful for, but somehow my dogs got super muddy and then welcomed themselves somehow back into the house. You've been there, right? Y'all seen the movie Beethoven? Yeah, and so my mother-in-law, Renita, calls Allie and says, hey, baby, I'm sorry, but, you know, the dogs got inside, and, you know, they got everywhere in the playroom. Mud was everywhere, all over the playroom furniture and everything, and we're like, oh, man, okay, well, let's go home and see it. And, of course, we get there, and, of course, Renita helps out, right? You walked in, it smelled like bleach in that playroom. Like, she cleaned it all up, right? Of course, mud's still all over the furniture, but she cleaned up the floors, and, you know, that's what moms do. Moms help, right? Well, I go through the playroom into our living room. I guess Renita did not get that far, only to see our entire living room couch, Beethoven, mud everywhere, right? All over the kitchen, all over the living room. And I thought to myself, like, this is gonna really suck to clean up, you know? And without even, this is without even like prompting at all, my middle daughter, Selah, just goes straight to the kitchen, grabs a mop, and just starts mopping the floors. No one asked her to do that. She starts mopping the floors. So we have Renita that helps clean before we get there. Selah, the daughter, helping while we're there. And I went and sat on the couch. I needed to take it all in and watch a show, you know, like let them clean this thing up, you know, just so emotional. Just kidding. We need to help. Just like Renita, just like I said, we've got to help cheerfully, and when we do, we show them honor. Here's the sixth thing, cranking through our list. We're going to remember them gratefully. Remember gratefully. You know, little things mean a lot to mom. It's those afternoon phone calls on the way home from work in the car. It's the invite to the kids' baseball games or football games. It's the last-minute lunch invitation. Hey, my parents aren't close, so it's the FaceTime calls of the grandkids. You know, I wish my mom lived closer. Because I told you, my mom's the fun mom. I would genuinely want to hang out with her. Like, I really do, because she's a party, and she always buys. She does. And so it's just fun all the time. It's free. And she's entertainment, too, so it's just a great time. I mean, we'll be hanging out with our friends, and I'm like, I wish my mom was here. She would get a kick out of this, and I think my friends would get a kick out of her, right? That's just how I think about it. You know, my mom... Think about remembering gratefully. My mom, she's been in real estate her whole life, but she's always been a good writer. And I guess that's where I get my writing and communication skills from. It's from my mom. But, you know, she started writing books, and she has a few books out, and I'm proud of her for that. But when we started the church, I wanted to find ways to get my in-laws and my parents involved in the church and have them operate in some form or fashion, and they're all doing that now. But when I thought about my mom's just an interesting character, so I'm like, what could she do? And I thought, well, she's a writer. She can help us write some things. So I asked her if she'd be interested in writing the newsletter. Every month, we send out a monthly newsletter to all the families in the church. You can subscribe to that on our website. And so my team sends her the information, and she compiles it together. She writes it, and she sends it out. And so I just kind of figured, how can I involve my mom into this, and how can she be involved? And so that's how I chose to have her be involved and to remember her. And it might not seem like a big deal to you, but for me, it was a way to honor her. It was a way to remember her and let her be involved in this church with us. Because I think the saddest thing that could happen to our moms is that they feel like they have been forgotten. Like we've moved on and we no longer need them or even think about them anymore. Man, they raised us. They gave us a childhood. How could we forget them? We need to show them that we still want them involved in our lives. So how can you show your mom that you want her involved? How can you remember your mom today? When we remember them gratefully, we show them honor. Here's the seventh and final thing. We'll conclude at this one. Here it is. We need them consistently. Need them consistently. You know, a mom finds her purpose and her value in being with her children. And I just believe that it hurts when she feels like she is no longer needed. And I'm sure that the enemy will do his very best to discourage a mom in her golden years. I mean, you're just a hindrance. Nobody wants to be with you. You're just an inconvenience. No one has time for you. I'm sure the enemy will convince them that they're not needed and lie to them. We are to silence the lies of the enemy and remind our mothers that they are needed and they are wanted. So I try to show my mom this. I'll call her and ask her for a recipe, right? It'll never be as good as mom cooked it, but I'll call her and ask her for a recipe. She's a great griller. I'll say, Mom, I'll show her, are these chickens done? I don't like to grill chicken. Are these chickens done, you know? Hey, and I'll say, Mom, how do you make that cocktail again? I got some friends, not me, some friends who want to try your cocktail recipe. It's for them, not me. Told you she's the party, man. The older a mom gets, I think the more we need to show them that they are needed. They're needed by us. They're needed by their kids. They're needed by their grandkids. We want them involved. When we remind them constantly that they are needed, we show them honor. I want to close with this story. It's a true story. And the story I'm about to tell you, you probably won't even believe it. But you can literally Google this story. It's a real story. And it's going to blow your mind. In 1820, there was a man named Peter Richley. You can look it up. Peter Richley, 1820, who had the strangest survival story that history has ever told. Peter boarded a ship to sail from England to Australia. And along the journey, his ship encountered some trouble and began to sink. Everyone on board died except for Peter. And as he was floating in the water there in the wreckage, another ship came along and found him by himself, and they rescued him. The very next day, they encountered a storm, and that second ship sank. Peter survived. A third ship saw the wreckage and came and rescued Peter. A few days later, something happened to that ship, and the third ship carrying Peter sank, and yet Peter still survived. But then there came a fourth ship and found lone survivor Peter floating there, and they rescued him. And get this, while they're on their journey, that ship too encountered some problems. And that fourth ship sank. You'd start to think Peter's the problem, right? Like, maybe, bro, just like pull a Titanic, go down with the ship, you know? Like, a fifth ship passing by came and rescued Peter. And that ship, too, sank. Until finally the sixth and final ship rescued Peter. It's a true story. That sixth ship was called the City of Leeds. And the crew pulled him out of the water, and Peter began to tell them this unbelievable story. I'm sure at that point they wanted to throw him off the ship. Jonah. This is a Jonah story. The ship survived, and the journey was completed. They took him, Peter, to Australia. However, just a few days before they reached the port of Australia, the captain came and asked Peter for a favor. The captain told Peter about a woman who was on board, who was old and frail and sick, and she was about to die. She was there on her deathbed. She knew the crew, and she became a mother to the crew. She actually was in a journey to go see her son one more time before she had died. And this lady was sitting there on her deathbed, there in the boat, and she was praying to God, God, let me see my son one more time. God, let me see my son one more time. It was a sad prayer. She knew she was about to die, but the captain had an idea. Said, Peter, she knows everybody here. She's been with us, but you're the new man on the boat. Peter, she doesn't know who you are. Would you go in and pretend to be her son and give her that peace so she can pass over into the next life? So Peter Richley, of course, he agrees. So get this, Peter Richley walks into the room where this lady was dying on her deathbed, and he begins to break down. There on the deathbed was his mother, Sarah Richley. She was actually journeying to go see him one more time before she had died, and he gets rescued by the very ship that's carrying his mother. Now, I believe the only reason five ships had to sink and the storm couldn't take him out to kill him was because of the power of a praying mother.
The power of a praying mother will get you through any storm, will get you through any crisis. The power of a praying mother changes lives. This is where I want to honor Renita today. Renita's a prayer warrior, my mother-in-law. She leads our prayer ministry at Zayo. She leads small groups on prayer. If you need anything for any reason, according to prayer, go to Renita. She's going to pray for you. She's going to believe God for you and with you. Many people here have gone to her and sought her counsel and advice. She's a prayer warrior. She's like a mother to many here at Zayo. And there's just something about the power of a praying mama. I truly believe that much of the success of this church and the protection and blessing of our family is because we had a mother who was diligently praying for us. I can't help but think of where you would be today without the prayers of a praying mother or grandmother. Some of you would not be where you're at today. Some of you would not be seeing the success and the blessing that you are seeing in your life today had it not been for someone praying for you. I'm asking today, would you honor mama today? And what better way to honor mama than to recommitting our lives to Jesus, and for some of us, giving our lives to Jesus for the very first time. Would you pray with me? Go ahead and close your eyes and bow your heads where you're at. Someone's been praying for you, a mama, a grandmama. They've been praying and believing God for you. And you're here today. It's the answer to their prayers. I'm just wondering, would you honor them today by committing your life to Jesus or recommitting your life to Jesus? If that's you, right where you're at, just say, Jesus, thank you for the prayers that got me to this place. And today, I give you my life. I commit my life to you. I'll follow you all the days of my life. I believe in Jesus. I thank you for what Jesus has done for me. And I commit my life to you. Make me into the kind of person you want me to be. Today, I give you my life in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Quick clap and celebrate those who prayed that prayer. Amen.